I'm Kara Lawrence, and I'm so pleased to be sitting with wonderful pianist Ivana Gavrich. It's so nice to have you here all the way from England.
Thank you, Kara. Good morning.
You are here to perform a concert on Sunday at 4 o'clock in the Wellspring Theater. It's part of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival's Rising Stars series, and it's such a wonderful series. All the pianists are exciting to see and watch and listen to, of course. And I'm really thrilled that you're here a few days beforehand in order to check out Kalamazoo and come to WMUK, for instance. This is your first time in the United States.
It is. It's my first time performing in the United States, and it's very exciting. I have been here before as a tourist.
I think listeners are aware that there's some pounding up in the studio. There seems to be some construction above us, but I'm sorry.
No problem. Make
people alert to that, too. So you are performing for the first time.
That's right. I made my official U.S. debut on Sunday in Washington, D.C., and it's a real treat to be here in Kalamazoo. It's such an honor to be invited, you know, from so far away that people have heard of me, and it's wonderful to be invited to perform here. I look forward to it.
Well, I was able to learn a little bit about your career and who you are from the Gilmore website, thegilmore.org, and I understand that you were born in Bosnia.
That's right. I was born in Sarajevo, and I lived there until I was 11. And then, because of, obviously, of the troubles, my parents and I moved to the UK, and I was very fortunate to be able to continue with my music there, and and set up a life there.
And you're not the only musician in your family.
I'm not. My mother is also a pianist. In fact, I believe she gave a concert when she was 7 months pregnant or something like that. So music was always in the family. And I remember from, well, my earliest memories of going to concerts and going to operas, and it was just part of daily life. And I really, really enjoyed that very much, in meeting all the musicians backstage and seeing all the costumes of operas. And I was very excited by all that. And I started very young at the music school. I was one of the youngest pupils. And I didn't really think about it, I guess, at the time. It was just something that was fun to do for me as well, to perform and learn the piano. And I was interested in other instruments too. But somehow I stayed with the piano, and I'm very glad I did now.
So there wasn't a lot of pressure to practice all the time? Is there something you wanted, you were inclined to do?
No, if anything, actually, I think my mother would encourage me to experience other things, because she knew how difficult it was as a life being a musician. Obviously, I had to work, and I think I was excited to do so, because it's just nice to see, you know, through work how much you can achieve and how you can get better. And the rewards you got through playing well and performing well were just wonderful, that I just wanted to do it more. Obviously, you know, we all go as children through times when you don't want to do it so much and you would rather play outside or something, but I think that's normal, and we got through that.
When you made that move as a child, mm-hmm. to a country that spoke a different language and all new people, they were all strangers to you at the time, how long did it take before you started to feel at home again?
It did take a long time, I have to say. I think probably less so for me than my parents, because I was able to join a school and so on. But it does take a long time. And as you said, I didn't really speak a word of English. And I think I don't really remember so much. It's all a bit of a haze, but I think I just didn't really speak for a few months, and then I just suddenly opened my mouth and spoke English. But I was very lucky. I had really, really supportive teachers at school who could tell that I needed nourishing, and it was just the language that was a barrier. So I was able to learn English very quickly, and then through music, it just gave me means of expression and means of getting away from all the troubles and, you know, the difficult times. It was another world to escape to, and that was really, I I think, really helpful at that time. So it probably took a couple of years, 2-3 years, and I had changed schools a few times, but after a couple of years, I felt a bit more settled again and a bit more on home turf, as you say.
Music is often referred to as another language, and that would be a wonderful means of connecting with people and, you know, sharing things that are just too hard to speak.
Exactly.
You can really put your feelings in music and be honest and not have to struggle with
that's them. Right. It's a very, very special means of expression, and I'm very lucky to be involved in that. I'm very lucky to have it in my life.
Well, we're going to be talking about some very special composers here that are featured on your program, which again is Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Wellspring Theater of the Epic Center, a presentation of The Gilmore here in Kalamazoo. Were there any special composers at that time that you were working through?
People... When I was still in Sarajevo, you mean?
When you were in the UK, you know, people are... At your age, they're working through Chopin etudes and Bach and
yes,
things like that.
Well, actually, funnily enough, this Grieg CD is a sort of a collection of pieces that I have played throughout my life. And the piano sonata I learned just as I arrived in the UK. It was one of the big sort of pieces I learned to play. Of course, I was playing a lot of Bach, as you mentioned, and Chopin, but this really struck a chord with me because I hadn't heard it before, and actually it's very rarely performed and recorded as well. And the Butterfly I played just before we moved to the UK, so it's a nice sort of musical path of my musical career to date, the pieces that I've played from as long as I can remember.
We've had a wonderful Gilmore artist here in the past named Leifova Ansnes.
Yes.
Who has a great love of Grieg as well. Have you ever met him?
I have, and I played to him, actually, just before I recorded this, and it was a wonderful meeting. He's one of my favorite artists. He's such a wonderful musician.
Was he someone who encouraged you to visit Norway at all?
Well, I'd already been invited to play in Norway by then, but I wanted to seek his advice and just wanted to play to him because he's someone whose opinion I valued a lot and still do, and it was a very special occasion.
Well, that's
very
wonderful.
Nice to work with him.
I'm speaking with Ivana Gavrich, who is here in Kalamazoo of all places to perform Sunday afternoon for the Gilmore Rising Stars series. More information is at thegilmore.org or by calling 342-1166. I understand that there are a few tickets still remaining and available for this concert. Ivana, you mentioned the piano sonata in E minor by Grieg, a rarely performed piece, and I know I had queued up one of the lyric pieces that I like, but since we're on the topic of the sonata, mm-hmm. Let's pick a movement from this work. I'm not really familiar with it at all. Is it four movements?
That's right, it's four movements. It's a very early work for Grieg. It's Opus 7. And, I mean, you can tell that it is an early work, and it's an unusually grand piece for him at this period of his life. But what really got me hooked on it was the slow movement. It's a beautiful song without words, if you like, and it already shows the harmonic language that Grieg later develops, and I love playing it.
Is it second movement or third?
That's the second movement.
Second movement. This CD is available on Champs Hill Records, and it will be available at the concert. So let's take a listen to this second movement from the Grieg, Ivana Gavrich. That's pianist Ivana Gavrich, and music from the Piano Sonata in E Minor, Opus 7 by Edvard Grieg, an early piano sonata that is not often programmed. And if you've just tuned in during the music, Ms. Gavrich is right here in Kalamazoo at WMUK, and we'll have this entire sonata on the program on Sunday at 4 o'clock as part of the Rising Stars series presented by the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. And more information is online right now at gilmore.org on the few tickets that are left for Ms. Gavrich's performance. This movement was what drew you into the sonata. And as I was just saying during the music, for a slow movement, it certainly gets very passionate and exciting.
It does. And I think that's what really drew me to not only this movement, but the whole sonata. It is very passionate and very dramatic, quite unusually for him. Because I guess with Grieg, apart from his piano concerto, we all know the lyric pieces very well. And they can be just beautiful gems or serene little episodes. And this is quite unusual. And the ballad as well is a very passionate and very romantic heart-on-your-sleeve work. So it's nice to explore these other sides of Grieg.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can learn a little more about this composer who is much more than his lyric pieces. Although, you know, if that's all he ever wrote, he'd still be one of the greats.
Yes, exactly.
My one of my top 10 discs, perhaps, or Desert Island discs, is Emil Gilels playing a lyric pieces program on Deutsche Grammophon. Great disc.
That's right.
And it's nice because you, as pianists, can bring many different flavors to Grieg as well, because he worked with folk-style melodies.
That's right. Folk music really helped him, I think, find his own language and find a more national Norwegian voice in his music, which he was very keen to pursue. So he would either use actual folk melodies, which he would then set... harmonize himself, as he does in the Slottet, which are very rarely but really quite quirky and wonderful peasant dances that he wrote or arranges towards the end of his life. Or he uses contours of that sound like folk music, Norwegian folk music, suggest the music or suggest that, you know, awesome in the real sense of the word landscape, the immense fjords, and somehow he captures that feeling of space in his music. And he also, I think, like Janáček, uses the rhythms of the Norwegian language in his music, and you can hear that, and that's really fascinating to me.
Your recording of Grieg Piano Works on Champs Hill Records, you open up the booklet and you see this picture of a little hut overlooking a northern lake of some kind.
And that's right. That's actually his composing hut. That's where he wrote a lot of his music once he moved to Trollhagen, to his house. And that's really what started off this whole project, the CD, because I was invited to play in the concert hall that's built next to his house, and it has huge windows on the stage that overlook that very composing hut. So as a performer, you're sitting there looking at the lake, which gave him so much inspiration, and looking at the hut where he wrote music. And it was one of the most memorable concerts I've ever given. I mean, it's rather distracting sometimes because there was a storm brewing as I was playing, and you know, you have to focus on the piano, but it was really special, and it made me want to just explore his oeuvre a bit more, because, as you said, he's one of these greats, but not so many of his works are that well performed or known. So I wanted to seek out the ballad, which has slightly fallen off the repertoire program, and on the piano sonata, and some of these more quirky pieces. So that's what I've been doing for the past year.
So you were invited to play at this concert hall, and of course you're visiting the United States for the first time as a performer with a concert just last week in Washington, D.C., and wow, we're so lucky here in Kalamazoo at Sunday at 4 o'clock. Ivana, we're aware here in Kalamazoo, because of the Gilmore, of many, many wonderful pianists that come through and present unique programs and have something to say. It is, from your perspective, that must be a little overwhelming if you think about how many wonderful pianists you can run into at a festival like that. Is that something you put aside and just that what will be, and you focus on what you love?
I think you have to. As you said, it is a very competitive world, and can be overwhelming, but we all have our paths, and you have to just do things your way and pursue whatever path is right for you. And that's what I've tried to do in the last couple of years, and it's amazing that it's brought me to these wonderful places to play, that I sort of almost accidentally started recording Janáček, and it's been so well received, and it's wonderful that people identify with that music, and it's really humbling, actually, I have to say. But yes, I mean, you just have to. There are a lot of us, but I think there's sort of space for all of us in a way.
One thing you've also chosen to do from time to time is work with chamber music and other musicians, and that must be a nice contrast from the very solo work of practicing by yourself and performing by yourself.
That's right. I think it's vital for pianists to work with other musicians, and I think when I was studying, I did even more collaborative work, and especially work with singers, and that has been very helpful indeed, because we learned so much about breathing and phrasing that maybe as pianists we sometimes forget, and it's just great to feed ideas off each other when you're working in chamber music ensembles, and as you said, it's a much more sociable way of performing music, so I think it's very important for us not to just get stuck, you know, on our own, but also experience music with other people.
Had you ever heard of Kalamazoo before? No, you were invited to play here.
I love the name. I absolutely adore the name. And I gather since I've been invited, I have heard the Glenn Miller song about Kalamazoo, and lots of people also knew where it was. So I was very excited to come and see it finally.
Well, we still have some nice color on the trees, I'm glad to say.
Oh, yes, it was a stunning flight last night, actually, flying over the city, and beautiful trees, colors, autumnal things.
Well, that brings us perfectly to In the Mists.
Oh. Yes.
This is a four-movement piano suite by Leos Janáček, who was Moravian, I think.
That's right.
I have no idea where that is. Is that near Bosnia?
Not really.
Are we talking?
I mean, that language, well, okay. Like, relatively speaking, I guess we're in America, where that would be very close. Distances are somewhat different here. He is from what is now the Czech Republic. He was born in a town called Brno. Yes, the Czech language I discovered recently when visiting Prague is quite similar to my language, so that was good to be able to understand each other, vaguely. It's a Slavic language. But he's a wonderful composer. Unfortunately, as pianists, we only get him in really essentially three major works. Then he finds opera and decides to dedicate his life to writing opera. But we get him at this very crucial stage when it's a turning point of sort of 10 years when he finds his voice again, like Grieg, through folk music, and then he goes on to write wonderful operas, which we all know and love. So it's quite special to not have so much piano repertoire from a composer. It's quite unusual for us, I guess, but they're wonderful pieces from what we do have.
Well, I think listeners should close their eyes here and listen to this sound world that opens up with the opening movement of In the Mist. My guest is Ivana Gavrič, and she's the performer on this Champs Hill record. Ivana Gavrich was the pianist, and that was music of Leos Janacek from In the Mists, and I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Music from Champs Hill Records, and both of Ms. Gavrich's recordings will be available at her live concert in Kalamazoo this Sunday at 4 p.m. In the Wellspring Theater. More information on tickets is available at thegilmore.org. So just to finish up with what's on the program, Ivana, we have In the Mists, and we've talked about the Grieg piano sonata. That's what starts the program, and we hear two lyric pieces after that. My question for you is, who is Cheryl Frances Hoad?
Well, she's a good friend of mine from Cambridge. We studied together at Cambridge University, and she's probably one of the most exciting up-and-coming composers in the UK at the moment. She was awarded the Royal Philharmonic Society Award a couple of years ago. And for many years now, I've wanted her to write me a piece or a collection of pieces. And when I was putting together the Grieg CD, we suddenly thought it would be a great idea for her to write me a collection of lyric pieces, but inspired by composers that I feel, I guess, a close connection to. So we have one inspired by Grieg and one by Janacek, so it's a nice little sort of work that holds the whole program together, a transition between the first and the second half. And it's wonderful because the Grieg was the first one she wrote, and she was inspired by the very movement that you just played, the slow movement of the sonata, which made me want to record that work in the first place. So that was a nice coincidence. I hadn't told her that. And eventually it will be a set of four pieces. We have a lyric piece inspired by Ravel and Schubert to come.
That is perfect new music programming to my sensibility. It has something to do with the established works on the program. It was written specifically for you and the music you love and you're playing. You know her personally. You just couldn't ask for a better way to introduce new pieces to audiences.
Yes, I hope the audience will like it. I mean, they're really lovely little pieces. They're sort of more sketches than anything, but I really enjoy playing them, and there are elements of even jazz in some of the pieces, so they're quite fun to listen to and to play as well. She writes so well for the instrument, so it's a real joy to play.
Well, and the program will end with a composer we just haven't mentioned yet. It's a major composer, Sergei Prokofiev.
That's right. The second half, except for Cheryl's works, is all written in the year 1912. But the Prokofiev couldn't be more different from Janacek. It sounds like music from another planet, I guess. It's music that's inspired by cities and machines as opposed to nature and birds and folk music. It's also a great piece of music. It's a very virtuosic piece that Prokofiev also used himself to show off his pianistic skills. And it's always a good fun to finish with a recital.
Was Prokofiev a composer that a teacher at one point decided you need to try some Prokofiev, or did you find it yourself?
A bit of both. The teachers did encourage me indeed to study him, but I actually did a lot of study of Prokofiev and that whole Ballet Russe time when I was at Cambridge. I wrote a couple of dissertations about that because I was so drawn into that time of what Diaghilev commissioned, and it seemed like it was such a melting pot of cultures, and he brought together composers and artists from all genres and made them work together, and we have amazing results of all the ballets that came about. So I sort of really developed a love for Prokofiev through his ballets, I guess, more than the piano music, and then came to the piano music afterwards.
He might be a little intimidating because he was a very good pianist, and sometimes I think you can hear some of his recordings.
You can
still,
yes.
But he's also a little unforgiving at times. Like, it just keeps going, these motors.
It does, but he has a great sense of humor, I find, and that really comes across. And there's a wonderful quote from one of his sons that says, "Daddy used to write very beautiful melodies, and then he used to Prokofiev-size them, as in add in wrong notes to make them a bit more quirky." And this sonata really captures that whole fun aspect. And the second movement is basically a passing train. That's how I can describe it. It's all the possible noises you can associate with a train going past, and it's great fun to play.
If Ivana, you're playing in Zurich next week. You'll
That's
be
right.
gone.
I will. But I hope to be back. I would love to be back.
Oh,
it's been wonderful.
Love to have you back. It's been a really eye-opening hour to talk with you and to meet you and listen to the music. And folks can do that in person on Sunday at 4 o'clock in the Wellspring Theater. Mary McCormick is here from the Gilmore. And Mary, I guess I gave all the information listeners really need on this concert. The phone number again is?
It's 342-1166.
Right.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much for having
you,
us. And we're thrilled to have Ivana here and really looking forward to her concert on Sunday. There are a few tickets left, so I encourage any of your listeners, if they don't have a ticket yet, to please call or just come to the concert at 3 o'clock on Sunday. We'll start selling tickets at the door.
Now, behind the scenes at the Gilmore, things are really, really in an exciting stage because the festival will be announced very soon.
Mm-hmm. It's really a wonderful time right now at the Gilmore. It's crazy because we're busy getting everything ready for the announcement of the new festival in 2014. The dates are April 24th through May 10th. And we'll be announcing the festival on November 12th. Our website will go live at midnight, magically, with all the information about the festival and the artists who are coming. It's especially, 2014 is especially important to the Gilmore because it marks the 25th year since the Gilmore was founded. So we're so glad that we're still around.
That's not possible.
And it's also going to be a year when we announce a new Gilmore artist, which is always an exciting time every 4 years. And kind of related to that is our Gilmore artist, Kirill Gerstein, who was announced or named a Gilmore artist in 2010, has been talking with our director, Dan Gustin, about ways that he can really show his appreciation and his gratitude for being named a Gilmore artist and just his pleasure in being able to perform for audiences in Kalamazoo. So he's coming to Kalamazoo on December 2nd. He'll be performing a free concert, a solo recital at Chenery Auditorium. And the response from the community has been overwhelming. We have almost every seat taken. In fact, we're even going to have seats on stage with the artist. And one of the things that Mr. Gerstein has talked with us about and we're arranging for is a live video broadcast of his concert as well. So he really wanted to make certain that anyone who wanted to listen to his music would be able to. So it'll be a first time for us, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, Mary and Ivana, such a nice morning. Thank you very much for your time here.
Thank you.
Thank you.